I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 587. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me this week, weekly co-host, Paris.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, you know, Pete jokes about me going to the Lazarus Pit. I think the salt from the Lazarus Pit poisoned me. I've been sick all week, and
You sound really, really sick. Wow, are you feeling a little bit better?
No, I'm feeling worse. That's worse? The crazy thing. It's like I think I might go to the doctor, man. I don't know. It's like it's getting worse. So and the kids got it too. So I'm pretty sure some snot-nosed kid put something in one of the pools, and we all got it on vacation.
Oh, no, I hope you guys get better later, man. It's the worst. Yeah. Going to work or going to school sick like this in the summer.
Oh my god. Worst. Well, it was funny because like I'm at work Thursday and everyone's looking at me like, dude, what the frick are you doing here? Go home. So yeah. Oh, so we'll see. Hopefully I'll get better soon.
Well, P is not here. He's swimming around the Jupiter. So P, shout out to you, man. Hopefully you could join us the next episode of GTR. And we have a lot of news, man. Like, slowly things are coming up, right, Paris? Like, the news is coming slowly. Gamescom is about to happen. The releases for fall and the holiday season is about to begin too. So we're gonna have a lot of content, and plus we're going to the Call of Duty XP that's in Labor Day weekend, right?
Yeah, it'll be the same exact time as PAX. Yeah, we'll both be there for that, so that should be a lot of fun too.
That's a lot of fun. Have you ever been to Call of Duty XP before?
Yes, I have.
Ooh, nice.
I'm trying to remember. It was because Robert Bowling was still with Infinity Ward. So that was that Modern Warfare 3? When was that? I can't remember the exact game. I can't remember if it was Modern Warfare 3 or Black Ops. But I went to that Call of Duty XP that year.
What was that, the one that Kanye West performed?
Was it? It might have been because I went the media day and then I went the next day. I didn't go the whole weekend though, but that was when they had like the, you know, you could do the whole paintball obstacle course thing, all that. Trust me, the Activision knows this is their cash cow. They went all out. And look, I always remember that one because unnamed Ubisoft employee, we kept texting back and forth trying to find each other. We never did.
And you couldn't, yeah, you couldn't find each other.
Yeah,
because
that's just how many people were there, dude. It was bananas. It was crazy.
Man, I can't wait. I've never been to this, so I'm pretty excited. Any listeners, are you planning to attend the XP event? Let us know. We'll definitely meet you there at the event, man. So I'm pretty excited about that,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, should be a good time.
You know? Awesome. All right, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, and also you could head over to play.it/gamertag and listen to our shows, our episodes over there. Make sure to share it with your friends, and if you have an opportunity, if you have iTunes, take a couple minutes and go over there and subscribe and also review the GTR. That will help us big time. A lot of new listeners can discover us based on the reviews and us on the chart, the top of the charts and all that, so we need your help with that. Also, you can find us on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitch, and other podcast directories. You can give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Now, if you're out of the country and you would like to send messages to us, there's two ways. You could record using your phone or your computer and send it to fanmail@gamertagradio.com. or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio and you could send our message over there too, man. So and we definitely will play here.
So real quick, because I just Googled it really quick. Yeah, it was 2011 and it was Modern Warfare 3. That's why I just remember Robert Bowling being there. So I knew it had to have been Modern Warfare 3 because that was Infinity Ward. And it was like a 3-day event. There was paintball, G-fop, off-roading, ziplining, that whole thing. And they estimated about 6,000 people were in attendance. And I'm pretty sure the one this year is going to be like double that. I know they're going bigger this year.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So, of course, don't you love rumors, Paris? Because I love rumors. This is a way for us to discuss and maybe we'll have some different opinions about this. But again, Nintendo NX, still more rumors going out. Now, the new one is that Zelda, Mario, and Pokemon games is going to be coming out within the first 6 months of launch of NX, which I think is a pretty cool move if this happens, because usually when a Nintendo launches a new product, it's like dry for months. There's nothing really new going on. Maybe you might see like some games from third party companies, but first party is really dry for like maybe almost a year, you know? So what are your thoughts about this, Paris? Because, you know, they made that mistake with the 3DS and they also made that mistake with the launch of the Wii U. I think if this happens, this is a smart move by Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what Nintendo needs to do, because they need to cement early on just getting people to buy in on the NX. And you do that by having titles that people want to play. And these are the three of the flagship titles for the NX. By having a Mario, Zelda, and Pokemon early, especially with the success of Pokemon Go right now, if they can tie that in somehow with the NX, would be pretty big for them. Yeah, I, like I said, I'm interested in what the Zelda is going to be. I mean, I want to play it on the Wii U or play on the NX is something I'm going to want day one. But if we're also getting a Mario game early on as well, that could lean me more towards, all right, maybe I should go get an NX early on towards launch versus waiting. Now, I think beyond the first 6 months, it'll be big for them to then come in at E3 and kind of show off a new Metroid, a new Donkey Kong, and just show the rest of their rogues gallery of flagship titles to let people know, all right, we got a Metroid coming this holiday, so stay tuned for that. Next spring, Donkey Kong's coming, etc. You know, I know this Mario game, I'm just guessing, is probably gonna be like a 2D Mario. It'd be nice for them to show off the next iteration of Mario Galaxy, like say, all right, that's coming in 2018. So just let people know that you got the titles coming, you know, that, all right, if you get an NX now, it's going to be worth investing in, because we're going to have all of these great games for you, you know, in the next 6 to 12 months.
I think this is a perfect opportunity for them to announce and reveal the console and some of the games in next month in September. And then in December, during the Game Awards, show more games, announce more, new games that's coming out next year and beyond. You know, that will be a smart move for them to make. And here's a cool thing too. One of the things that Nintendo's been having issues is third-party support. But this time, Sega, Square Enix, Ubisoft, Activision, and Warner Brothers are already on board to work games for the NX. And so far, positive feedback from all companies. So, you know, the rumors about this whole, you could take your console out and it has attached controllers, supposedly is 100% accurate, according to a close source that's been talking to a couple of sites out there, man. So I see this happening, man. You know, I know it's all, this is a rumor, but I can see this happening, man. Nintendo, they really don't care about power. They just care about software and having a unique hardware for the gamers out there, you know? What they're saying is that game graphics wise is somewhere between PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4, and Nintendo targeting audience is between smartphone gamers and more hardcore gamers that plays, you know, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Your thoughts, Paris, on this? Because we've been discussing about this for a while now.
Yeah, the power aspect from Nintendo's standpoint doesn't matter. It's like you're saying, and it never has for them. If they have unique gaming experiences that you're not going to have on any other platform, doesn't matter if it does 12 teraflops or not, or if it's in 1080p or 720p or whatever this thing winds up being, it doesn't matter. It's Nintendo. And like we've been saying for the past few years anyways, Nintendo's going to do Nintendo. They're going to create games and experiences that you're not going to be able to do anywhere else, and it's going to be unique to them. And like you just mentioned earlier, the big thing for them is to get more third party on board with the NX and be able to leverage whatever this NX is going to be to have some unique experiences coming from third party as well. And as long as they do that, and as long as this NX is reasonably priced, I think they're going to be fine, especially if it winds up being a hybrid. If this winds up being successor to the Wii U and the DS at the same time, who wouldn't want to get it? You know, if you're a fan of Nintendo and a fan of the games that they're doing, and let's just say for argument's sake, this thing comes in at $250. If it comes in at $250, you can play it at home. You can take it on the go. You're playing Zelda, you're playing Mario, all these games, plus some unique third party games. The thing's going to sell just fine for Nintendo. They're going to be fine. I'm pretty sure they've learned their lesson from the mistake that they made with the Wii U. So I'm very curious to see what this thing is going to look like in September and how it's going to stand out from the rest of the crowd.
Now, my question to you, Paris, is let's say the third-party games comes out for all consoles, like also NX. What will make you buy that same game, NX, and forget about PC and Xbox and PlayStation 4? Is it exclusive content? Is it something, a unique experience?
It's got to, yeah, it's got to be a unique experience. Again, it's got to be, it has to take advantage of whatever this NX is going to be to make people want to get a third party game on the NX versus getting that same third party game on a PlayStation or an Xbox. You know, again, if this thing allows you to take games on the go and then also play them at home and it ties in with some online aspect as well, that might be unique enough that that certain games you're like, you know what? I think I want to play it on the NX versus playing it on the PlayStation 4 because the graphics don't really matter in this case. The quote unquote power doesn't matter. But the fact that I can take this game and play it anywhere does matter. Like I see, like, again, with this whole Pokemon Go craze right now, I can see them tying something into that aspect where you need to be on the go to take advantage of the game, making that the hook. You know, if you need to be in certain places and locations to take full advantage of a game versus just sitting in your house, and the NX provides that on some level, there you go. Trust me, and my kids were out till 9 o'clock last night Pokemon hunting. So if Nintendo can do something, can leverage that with some other games to get people on the go and it uses the NX, that could be the thing to get people to pick up third-party games on it. But that's up to third-party if they can have an experience like that. Like we joke around with Activision and like Skylanders, them doing something on along the lines of Pokemon Go with Skylanders, that'll get kids playing it. Why wouldn't Activision? Look, Activision loves money, so I can totally see them doing something like that. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm excited to see what this thing is going to be in September, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I just want to see something new, man, instead of the same old games that's been coming out every single year. Like you mentioned Skylanders. Yeah, I know there's an audience for that, but I want to see new games, new IPs, something that is going to get my attention, you know? Like, I don't want to just buy the same Nintendo games all the time, you know? So, like, for example, you know, Ubisoft, there's been rumors that Beyond Good and Evil, we might see an exclusive, that game coming out for the NX. That rumor been going around for, I believe, like a year or so. So, something like that. So, we'll see if this is going to happen or not. But my final question is, Paris, if you were in charge of the whole marketing NX, and you have an opportunity to release these games within this first 6 months, which one besides, I know Zelda's coming out first, but which one you will release next after that, Pokemon or Mario?
Probably Pokemon to, like I said, take advantage of this Pokemon because of the Pokemon Go craze. I would try and cash in on that as soon as I can and keep people hooked in before that, mm-hmm. that fades away.
All right, yeah, makes sense. All right, cool. All right, so listeners, let us know your thoughts. And if I know last time we talked about NX, there was somebody was tweeting at us for like all day, pretty pissed off about us talking about rumors. Hey, we're talking about rumors. It's nothing official yet. It's just a great discussion, you know? So, but here's another one. And this is from Rockstar. They're saying that pretty soon they're going to be revealing several projects that's coming out very, very soon. Sometime, hopefully, next year. Now, my prediction is, Paris, I think we might see a Red Dead Redemption 2 game. I think the reason why Microsoft released this game, the first one, that you could play by the old version, or if you have the disc also, you could play Red Dead Redemption on your Xbox One. You know, so I think this was just a test between Rockstar and Microsoft and stuff, and hopefully we might see a new game of Red Dead Redemption 2. I think that's possible. Anything else besides that do you see them announcing that they should announce?
I honestly don't know. They're not going to announce anything Grand Theft Auto related because, you know, like they're even saying in their earnings, Grand Theft Auto 5 is just going strong. So there's no need to try and change up that formula. Just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, I honestly don't know. Who knows with Rockstar? They'll come out with a new IP that we weren't even expecting on them.
Very true. Paris, I know you posted this online a couple minutes ago. Issues with your Xbox One controller and PC? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, the Windows 10 anniversary update came out this week, and I went ahead and updated it, and everything seemed fine. And like I said, I've been sick, so I haven't really been gaming or anything. And it was funny. I was on NeoGAF, and I saw people complaining that the update broke the drivers for the PlayStation, for the DualShock 4, and for the Xbox One controller. I was like, oh, crap. So I decided, yeah, let me just pop up big picture mode on Steam and just make sure the controller is working in that. So sure enough, I fired it up. Mm-hmm. Not working right. It doesn't work right. And then if you go into the actual settings and look, it just shows up as a generic controller now. And yeah, the drivers are screwed up on this thing. I've seen a few fixes to it where you can roll some things back and pull up the old Windows 7 drivers, and that should get it working. Ironically enough, when I just fired up Witcher 3 as a standalone game, it still worked, the controller, just fine. But I noticed within Steam, it just, like, I can go left, I can go right, but none of the buttons work. You know what I mean? I had to pull up my mouse to kind of navigate whenever I had to do a button press, things like that. So it, like the article from Ars Technica said, it's a hot mess right now. And the other thing is, if you get the new Xbox One controller that does Bluetooth, it will only recognize one Bluetooth controller at a time. You can't have multiple Bluetooth controllers, which we were just talking about last week or the week before about local multiplayer on PC. That actually, and then again, I was just reading this article on NeoGAF, and a lot of people were saying, yeah, there's a lot more games coming out on PC now that take advantage of local multiplayer. So if you want multiple Xbox One controllers on your PC, you're still going to need to get that wireless dongle, or you're going to have a wired connection via USB. You can't have multiple Bluetooth controllers. So people that were thinking to run out and get the new controller, and maybe if they wanted multiple connections on their PC, that's not necessarily going to happen, at least right now at launch.
It has Microsoft been saying anything about when this might get fixed?
I haven't seen anything. I don't know if they've made an official response yet or not.
Well, that sucks. That's why I stick with my consoles instead of PC. Just letting you know. All right, so Paris, I think it's time for fan mail. You ready for this or what? We got a couple emails here.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
All right, it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have a couple emails here. So I'm going to read the first one. This is from Jim. This email is called The Crickets. Hi, guys. This is Jim from Illinois. I love the podcast. I listen to it every Monday and Thursdays. So do my 20-plus coworkers. Oh, shout out to all of you. Thank you for listening. So this, he says, that this email is regards to The Division. I have put over 14 days game time into it. I was three levels away from Dark Zone rank 99 before I completely gave up on it. mainly because after the Underground update, they nerfed all the submachine guns and made the NPCs way overpowered. Ubisoft always have been having issues every time they release an update with the Division, so that's one of the reasons why I gave up too. Long story short, Ubisoft dropped the ball on the Division. It ended up feeling like Diablo 3 with guns by the end of it for me. But I did pick up The Witcher 3 because of how highly you guys talked about it, and I love it. Thanks for reading. P.S. I actually started listening to the podcast because I seen you guys did coverage on the Division and have been hooked ever since. So thank you, Jim, for the email. And once again, shout out to all your coworkers that also listen to the show. And whenever you get the chance, I would like to hear from your coworkers too. So email us and let us know what you think about our discussion and everything too. So, Paris, that's one of the reasons why I stopped the Division is because the game is actually fun. I think it was pretty cool and everything. It was just every time there was an update, there was always a bug, either your character get erased. So I was like a little nervous. Like, I don't want to go in there, update my game, and then my character just vanishes out of nowhere. And just issues left and right. You know, after a while, I just got tired of it. So.
Well, you know what I've been saying since before launch, so I don't think I need to repeat any of that. But, I think the concept of the Division was a good one. I just think the execution of it kind of got bungled a little bit. And, you know, with these updates, they haven't 100% satisfied the user base, and people are leaving. I mean, the statistics show people have stopped playing the game. Like, I joke around with you guys. No one, like, in our little circle of friends, everybody was talking about the Division. Oh, Division this, Division that, blah, 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 blah. Crickets. Like I say, crickets. No one talks about it anymore. So is there still time for them to fix it? Maybe. I don't know. I do think this, it's a good enough of an IP that I would like to see a sequel to it. And hopefully by the time they make a sequel to the Division, they can, you know, figure out the proper way to basically sat. Cause like I said, a game like this is loot driven. You need to have incentive every time you're going to do these excursions and all this other stuff that it feels worth it to you. You know, again, I don't want to compare it directly to Destiny, but that's just one thing that Bungie has done over these almost two years now is they fix the game flow of how you get loot, how you stay satisfied, and to keep you engaged into the game. Whereas the Division, hey, it hasn't even been out a year yet. There's still time. They got to figure out that flow that makes people want to keep coming back and doing these things over and over again. And I know I don't remember if it was an email we got or someone on Twitter, because people had been hitting me up about the crickets thing, given their experience. And one person said, I think he thought a big problem with it is the Division doesn't have a true multiplayer. You know, something that even when the PvE content gets slow, at least you can go play the multiplayer and you can just play the game head to head against real people. And that's another way to keep people engaged. And like I've said from the get-go, the big difference between Destiny and the Division is the raid. The raid is that in-game content that, you know, it's one of the greatest co-op experiences I've ever had. And I just don't see that in the Division right now. You know, where when you first beat a raid in Destiny, it's just one of the most satisfying experiences you can have. And I think until the Division can find a true piece of in-game content that is just a mind-blowing experience where, like, look, with Destiny, when this new raid comes out for Rise of Iron, they're putting out 3 days after it launches. So it's coming out on September 23rd. Guarantee you, go watch the Twitch numbers. All these people scrambling to get worlds first. Everyone's going to be watching it. Everyone gets excited about it. It's like a true achievement to be the first group to actually figure out the raid. You know what I mean? I don't see that excitement with anything coming in game from the Division. And I just think that's the big difference between the two.
Yeah, I'm thinking, do you think Ubisoft learn from their mistakes while working on the new Ghost Recon?
I hope so. I mean, because from what, you know, it's funny. Remember how when we're at E3 and like I say, I really loved what we played at Ghost Recon. It was one of my highlights of E3. It was like after E3, I was watching some impressions and seeing what some other people were thinking. A lot of people didn't like it. They thought it was generic and, you know, it's not going to flow. And I was thinking, wow, this is like a true, just living, breathing, you know, open world where you can basically go do whatever you want when you want. I'm like, I can go play with.
And it changes. Yeah. And it changes all the time.
Yeah. Too. And I'm thinking you can play with three of your buddies or drop in, drop out co-op. I was like, this looks fun to me. I didn't get it. So, hey, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, we'll see when March comes, but it's definitely a game I'm anticipating.
But see, that's the thing. Ubisoft, my personal opinion, I think they did a better job when it comes to that. You know, that every time you play, it's always a different experience. I was not getting that with The Division. It's always the same experience over and over again. You know, so that part I love. That's the part that I love the most about Ghost Recon. You know, so.
But to be fair, that's Destiny 2. You're repeating the same experiences over and over. But again, like I said, part of that is the loot. Because you're chasing a particular weapon or a piece of armor or something like that. So you're repeating these experiences to get that, to level up and to get that unique exotic or something like that. Whereas I don't hear people talking about that in The Division, you know, where there's this unique piece of gear that you can only get by doing this certain experience and hoping RNG is in your favor and it drops for you. That, to me, that's the difference. I could be wrong. Division players, all three of you can comment and let me know, but I don't hear that from people.
All right. Next email. This is from Tom, all the way from the UK. Thanks for responding to my email on the last episode of the podcast. Really helpful. Shout out to Paris. Went to St. Petersburg last year during the holidays. And when I reach 42, I want to retire there and ride jet skis all day long. Shout out. Well, thanks, Tom. That was pretty cool. People are loving that, Paris.
I know. It's hilarious. It was pretty funny. But yeah, Tom, thank you for the email. We appreciate it.
You want to read an email, Paris?
Well, before we go to the next email, let's actually get a word from our sponsor. Are you ready to save money and play more games? Then let me introduce you to our sponsor, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. Just go to gamefly.com/gamertag. Pick your favorite games and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service, over 9,000 titles to choose from. Let you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want, and you'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. And like we said, they now offer movie rentals too. So go to gamefly.com/gamertag and start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at a time, and you can only get this offer by going to gamefly.com/gamertag. So go sign up now. Start playing all your favorite games absolutely free for 30 days at gamefly.com/gamertag.
Yeah, once again, I'm here checking out the website from Gamefly, and they have, this is the most popular game so far. It's Uncharted 4, Overwatch, and Doom. So go over there, check it out. Go to gamefly.com/gamertag and sign up, and it's totally free. Try it out. Go for it.
All right, so let's read this email. This is from Wayne, and he says, "Hi guys, longtime listener here. First off, I want to thank you. Your podcast has become one of my favorite gaming podcasts that I listen to. Listen to your last episode. You were talking about the Xbox One S. I've been an Xbox gamer since 2002 and love all of Microsoft's exclusives. Unfortunately, as much as I would like to follow the path of PC, Paris, as he does make sense, and P2, I don't have the room for a PC setup, and it doesn't seem right having a PC setup in the living room TV. The console suits my needs for now, and that's why I'm happy with things could change in the future. I've had my Xbox One since launch, and although I'll be buying the Scorpio next year, I had to upgrade to the Xbox One S. My reasons were smaller footprint, internal power supply, 4K video services, Blu-ray player, 4K Blu-ray player, increased wireless range, and a fresh warranty. These reasons were enough for me to trade in the old console, invest the rest I need to grab a One S. Although it will only be a year before Scorpio, I believe it's a sound investment as I will then trade in the 1S for the Scorpio, while in the meantime, I get to enjoy the extra features the 1S has over its older brother. Totally agree with you guys that the newer console is a sexy machine and it feels so much more solid than the older Xbox One. Even though the controller feels better, believe it or not, the system feels snappier than the last one, so I'm all over the moon with my new console. Again, thank you so much, Gamertag Radio. You guys do give me a little something every week to look forward to. Keep up the great work, Wayne from the UK. So thank you, Wayne. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, since we recorded the last one talking about the 1S, I've just been watching and reading a lot of reviews and impressions of the 1S. And the one thing that a lot of people keep coming back to, and I do agree with this, but again, this comes down to your disposable income. Unless you're taking advantage of the 4K and HDR capabilities of the 1S in the short term, you might as well keep your Xbox One. Because you're unless you just like the look of the smaller Xbox One S and the fact that it has internal power supply, like Wayne was talking about, there's no real world advantage having that One S, especially if you're thinking about getting Scorpio in the future. Like I said, if you have the disposable income and you want to pull a Phoenix and upgrade to it, that's fine.
Phoenix.
No. Dude, he loves it. We've been talking all week. He freaking loves it. But again, he has a 4K TV. He's investing in 4K Blu-rays. So it totally makes sense that he would do something. I just worry about the people that don't have a 4K TV getting this thing and then not seeing a real difference from their current Xbox One S other than the fact that it's smaller. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but again, yeah, it's your money. You spend it the way that you want to spend it. Like Wayne, he has his plan. He's getting it now for the short term. He's going to take advantage of the features in the short term, but he knows this time next year, he's most likely going to be trading it in and upgrading to the Scorpio, which is fine. You know what I mean? And that's the one thing about all this. And again, this is a speculation, but it's my opinion. I do feel like Sony forced Microsoft's hand to announce the Scorpio now, whereas they're like, we're not going to just deal with rumor and speculation for a year. We might as well get out in front of it, announce it now, get some developers on the screen talking highly about it. And you know what's coming next year versus putting out this one as kind of quote unquote tricking people into getting it. And then, you know, at E3 next year, oh, by the way, we got a new console coming in and it's the Xbox Scorpio or whatever the heck it's going to be called. So it was the right move for them to do because we know Neo is coming within the next 6 months, let's say. So they might as well go ahead and announce it. So this simply becomes a choice. You know, you can choose to get the Xbox One S if you want. If you don't, that's fine. You know that a more powerful console from Microsoft is coming next year. So we'll see.
My question is, when do you think Sony is going to announce this PlayStation 4 Neo?
I got a feeling now that it's not coming this year. I really thought, I thought the original 4.2 teraflop rumor Neo was coming this year. I think they're going to delay it and they're going to put out a more powerful, because the rumor now is they're testing a 4.2 teraflop version and a 5.5 teraflop version. And the interesting thing is Digital Foundries, this is Eurogamer.net guys, they built a PC that basically matches what the Neo would be if it was that 4.2 teraflop version. And it really doesn't do 4K at all. It's more of a 1440p machine than it is a 2160p machine. It can kind of sort of do 4K, but not really. I mean, it was barely locking in at 30 frames per second. So if they go to the 5.5 teraflop version, now you're closer to what Microsoft is talking about with Scorpio, and that seems to make more sense. So if that means they need to delay it until, let's say, February, like they launch it same time as Horizon, for example, that makes more sense. And it's not going to hurt Sony, you know, to wait out this holiday and put out Neo early next year. So that would be my opinion. They'll delay it. They'll go to with the more powerful version. Now, along with that, the rumor is the price would go up to $499 versus $399, which, again, I think is okay in this sense. No one's forcing you to get Neo. You know, if you get Neo, it's because you're an enthusiast and you want that power bump and you want to get to 4K. But if that's not for you, if you don't have a 4K TV, stick with your PlayStation 4. No one's forcing you to do it. So if they do go to $499, but it also means we're getting a more powerful system, I'm okay with that. Because, look, we know Scorpio is at least $500 minimum. You know what I mean? When that comes out at the end of the year, and Microsoft's made that crystal clear. So I don't think Sony would be wrong for doing that. But at the same time, I do think if they come out with a $499 PlayStation Neo, they need to drop the price of the current PlayStation 4. Like, make it $250, something like that. You know, make that price difference so that for the budget gamer, they're getting more value out of getting the standard PlayStation 4. But if you're an enthusiast, you're going to pay an enthusiast price. I think that's the approach Microsoft's going to do. Because you can think about it. When a Scorpio comes out at the end of next year, it's got, like we said, let's just say it's $499 for giggles. It's going to be $499. this Xbox One S that we're getting right now, the 500 gigabyte version, maybe even the terabyte version, it'll be $250-$200 by then. They're not going to keep the price where it is right now.
That's,
you know what I mean? True. So there's going to be that value. And then Microsoft can argue, hey, if you can't afford Scorpio, get our One S for $250. You still can play your 4K Blu-ray movies. We're up-resing it to 4K. They can still sell it so that both can live together, and it makes total sense. Not to mention, hey, if you don't want any of that, just go get the Xbox anywhere, and you can do that too, you know, on your PC. So it's going to be an interesting E3 next year.
Yes, definitely. Like, I'm thinking here, like, man, so by Microsoft announcing Scorpio, the pressure is on, man, for Sony. Like, like you were saying, because it's not coming out this year, they're making all these changes because of Scorpio, and now by them bumping it and making it even a powerful console, like you said, price, that's going to be a very interesting thing. Like, imagine Sony announces as a $499 console. Do you see Microsoft also announcing Scorpio to make it even cheaper just to compete with Sony? Because I to me, in my opinion, which I know Michael Pachter has been saying this too, I think that Microsoft, they just want to be number one. They don't care if they're losing money or not. Like, they just want to be number one. It looks good.
I mean, we'll see at launch. I just fully expect it to be at least $500, no matter what Sony does, because they're going to argue it's the more powerful machine. They're going to argue it's the machine that does true 4K gaming, things like that. It's going to be the system, our VR, because they haven't talked about what they're doing for VR yet. We don't know. Assume it's Oculus, but they have not talked about it yet. So their selling point is going to be, we have a better VR solution. Our system's more powerful. We're doing all our games in 4K, true 4K, blah, 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 blah. So it's going to come down to a marketing pitch. So if it's the same price as Neo, or if it's a little more, that's going to be their pitch versus having to drop the price and make it lower. Because again, if you remember, the issue at launch was it was $100 more than the PlayStation 4. It was less powerful, and you were getting a camera that most people didn't want. And that camera looked like it was the price difference versus, you know, them having a machine that, hey, spec wise, we're more powerful. Look at all the games that we got, blah, 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 blah. So I think this next time around here, late 2017, the messaging and the argument is going to be a little different. So I think even if Scorpio costs a little bit more than whatever Neo is at the time, they're going to be fine.
Well, I have a story about Kinect, Paris.
Go for it.
So the other day we were fixing the living room, and I had to fix all my gadgets I have connected to the TV. And I decided to remove Kinect from the Xbox. And the reason is, not because, I mean, yes, I don't use it that much. I mean, we might say, you know, Xbox on. Yeah, it's pretty cool and all that stuff. But game-wise, I really don't use it. Plus, I want to get used to it once I buy the Scorpio next year, because it doesn't come with Kinect. I mean, it's optional. If you already have Kinect, you could definitely will connect it to your Xbox One or Scorpio, you know. But yeah, I decided to take it off. I have it off, and I've been good. It works fine without it. So yeah, Kinect is pretty much dead.
I mean, the fact that the One S doesn't have a native input for it, and if you're not upgrading from the original Xbox One with Kinect, you got to spend $40 just to use Kinect on it. Which, and if you go buy Kinect as a standalone, if you go to Best Buy or something, it's $100. So you're telling me I got to spend $140 just to have Kinect on the Xbox One S? No one's going to do that. They know it's dead. Yeah. It's dead. They know.
They can't say it publicly, but it's all good.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so here's another one. This email is from Joel the Giant, and this is about Xbox Anywhere. Joe the Giants here, signing in from small town Ohio. Have listened in for the last 3 years, but this is his first time contacting us. So shout out to Joe. He has a question about Xbox Anywhere. With your Miss Cleo instincts, do you think current Xbox One games will become compatible with the, at the same point in the near future, especially digital? Because all my games I have are digital and I want to build a gaming rig, but I will hate to start all over with games purchases on games that he purchased and stuff. Is that going to work on the PC and stuff? So I have put extensive time in over the last couple years, but I still love to play Destiny, Grand Theft Auto 5, Fallout 4, and yes, Paris, even The Division, laughing out loud. Let's hear some predictions, and thanks for all the effort you gentlemen put into giving us gamers great content. Well, thank you, Joe.
Well, go back to our interview with Aaron Greenberg at E3. They're not going to go back. They're not going to do retro games. It'll be games moving forward. And third party, the option is open to them to join in on Xbox Anywhere if they so choose. You know, and even with Xbox first party, they kind of have some wiggle room in that games that make sense to be on Xbox, be on PC and on Xbox One at the same time. So if there's some RTS or something that only uses keyboard and mouse, maybe it only shows up on PC. Honestly, I don't know what the game that would only show up on Xbox One that wouldn't make sense on PC as well. But that option is there. But as far as he's saying, like his back catalog of games already, I doubt we're going to see that on Xbox Anywhere. It'll just be new content moving forward. So you won't be able to get rid of your Xbox One just yet if you're still playing these older games. And or, like he mentioned, GTA 5 or Fallout 4, you'll have to buy them on PC and you would have to start over, unfortunately. Even The Division, LOL.
True.
Yeah.
All right, Paris, let's read one more email. You want to read that one? I think this is perfect to end the show. The one with Craig?
Okay, here we go. All right, this is from Craig, and he says, back in 2014, I suffered a really bad back injury due to a simple slip and fall on black ice attempting to go to work. I was with the NYPD for 21 plus years. Maybe it was running with 30 pounds of equipment on top of my 215-pound frame that caused my back to go, I'll never know. Needless to say, it cost me my career, and I needed what is called a double spinal fusion to fix my L5 through S1. Ouch.
Oof.
He's saying, I took it really hard, but I knew it was my time to retire. Hey, you know, sorry about the injury, man. That is rough. So he says this brings me to your podcast. You see, Paris always says he considers himself just a guy talking games on a mic. That was certainly not the case for me. Your show brought me hours of therapy. The fusion worked and I'm walking around, thank God, but the nerve damage was permanent, so I'm in pain every day. I'm stubborn and refuse to take any pills, so my pain relief is playing games and listening to podcasts, and yours is the top of my list. You guys always bring it each week and every week, so though you guys thank me for a tweet I sent you, I needed to thank you guys personally for what you did for me. Danny, Paris, and Pete Rock. He's Pete Rock. Thanks for the fun and awesome podcasting. So do as... Okay, sorry. Let me read this again. Okay. Danny, Paris, and Pete Rock, thanks for the fun and awesome podcasting. You guys are an inspiration. You've given me... Thank you for the inspiration you guys have given me. I'm kind of changing the words around a little bit. To get me back into the gym and continue to rehab this damn back. Thanks, Craig. So, Craig, thank you for sending in. Yeah, he tweets at us all the time. His gamer tag is Mr. Broomstick XL. You know, yeah, I didn't know about the injury being that severe, man. That is rough. You know, it sucks that you had to retire from your career. I'm glad you're being on the path, man. You know, rehabbing and doing your thing and saying F those pain pills. You'll do your own therapy on that. And you made it gaming and podcast, which, you know, that's a great thing. So thank you for the email, man. And he also, in the attachment, he sent us pictures of his x-rays of his back, and it's gnarly, man. Yikes. So.
Oof. No, but thanks a lot, yeah. Craig, man. You know, and he, you know, I mention this every time we record, even behind the scenes, I talk to the guys like on our private hangout and stuff. You never know who's listening, man. Like to us, it's like, oh yeah, we're recording every week, whatever. But you never know the impact that we're having like in the community. You know what I'm saying? Like things like this. I didn't know about this about Greg, and there's other stories too that in the past we've been getting emails from other listeners too that it surprises me all the time, man. You never know who's listening to the show. And, you know, thank you for supporting us. And I hope this makes your week better, you know, just by listening to GTR, man. So thanks. This motivates me to continue GTR, you know. So thanks a lot, man. It means a lot to me, man. It means a lot. So anything else, Paris? I think we're good. For the week?
I think we're good. I'll say this just off topic from gaming real quick. Obviously, you know, you and I are big fans of Stranger Things. We've been talking about that. You know, I'm surprised again. I just looking up some, reading some reviews and watching some video reactions and stuff. People didn't like Winona Ryder. Like, that's a common thing that came off to me, that people did not like her take as the mom. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? If you're...
She did an amazing job.
Because they're like she was, from the time she was introed until the show ended, she was ratcheted up to just to 11. I mean, she was just full bore from the minute, from the moment that we got to see her on screen. And I'm thinking, if your son was missing and you could hear him in the walls and everyone thought you was crazy, that's how you would be acting too, because that's your kid. You're not going to listen to what anyone else is saying because you're hearing your son in the wall. Again, I don't want to spoil the movie, the show, but yeah, I thought her performance was fantastic. Like, literally when Oscars comes back up next year, I think she should be in consideration. I thought it was that good. I love the show.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic.
And I was reading too that I believe up to like 20 networks declined to work with the writers to have this on their, like, in different networks, and Netflix was the only one that was like, oh, you know what, let's take this chance, this is a great story, let's have it on our platform. And look, it's a hit now. So the next show that I'm waiting is The Get Down, which is a executive producer of Nas. I've been working on this supposedly for a while now, and this story takes place I believe in the 77, when hip-hop just started, you know, a lot of block parties in the Bronx and all that stuff. So, man, this is going to bring back memories when I used to live in New York City as a kid, you know, checking out on the window and I see a bunch of breakdancers and everything, you know, a lot of house parties and block parties too in New York. So I'm super excited about this, man.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. And I'll just say, for people listening to this that plan on checking it out, from what I've seen of early impressions, supposedly the pilot is okay, but it gets a lot better after the pilot, because I think they changed directors or whatever at that point, and the direction of where the show is going to go kind of locks in after the pilot. So if the pilot seemed a little all over the place, just push through it and get to the rest of the episodes. It supposedly gets a lot better. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the soundtrack. I think it's going to be fantastic. Now, before we end it, another show I've been watching on Netflix, and I got one more episode to watch, is Last Chance U. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, so you mentioned to me, I have it saved. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet because I've been watching the Olympics lately. So
I'll say is this. It's about East Mississippi. It's a junior community college, junior college. It's basically where a lot of these Division I football players that either don't have the grades or got in trouble or something, it's quote unquote their last chance to prove themselves to then get a scholarship to go back to another Division I school. And and in East Mississippi, like, they – 3 national championships in a row. They haven't lost a game in 3, et cetera. You'll see it as you watch the show. But it amazes me how these kids, and I know I was dumb as bricks when I was 19, 20, 21 years old too, but it amazes me how these kids don't realize the opportunity that they have right in front of them. And I'll just leave it at that. You'll see it as you watch. But it's like, dude, just go to class. Why aren't you going to class? That's all I'll say. It blows my mind, but I was probably that dumb too. I didn't know nothing.
Yeah, you know what? No, I mean, we're older now, but you know, at that time, a lot of young kids, especially nowadays too, they just thinking about now. They're not really thinking about the future. So that's why maybe they're doing those stupid mistakes nonstop. You know. So, but Paris, one last thing I want to say. I went to the movies, thanks to T-Mobile. They were giving away free tickets of Suicide Squad, so I got to see it. I'm not a hardcore DC comic book fan, but I think the movie was okay. It wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen. Like, I'll tell you this, if you've seen Fantastic Four, because that was a pretty bad movie, the last one that came out, I think this the Suicide Squad was way better than that, man. You know, it was a decent movie. It was entertaining. Is it perfect? No. Worst movie of the year? No. I'll just leave it as that. It was decent. It was okay. It was all right.
Well, I mean, and I have other people have been saying that too, which is fine. I'm still not going to go see it in a theater. Just like I've never seen Fantastic Four, and I never will. X-Men.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah,
I saw it on TV. So
yeah, X-Men, I'll eventually watch when it's on home video. Same with Suicide Squad thing. And like I said, I'm just getting old and cranky, and I don't have time to be wasting at the movies like that. It needs to be something that I really like. Ghostbusters thing. I'm like, I'm not going to go to the movies.
I liked it.
I'll watch it later. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And when you get older, I think this is what happens. You're like, there's no rush. I have no rush to go see it right away. You know, I'll watch it later. You know, it's like we got 4K TVs and surround sounds, and I just watch it at home. I don't need to go to the theater.
And you just stream it. The click of a button.
Exactly. Just stream it on Netflix. It's all good.
All right, cool. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Put your comments and feedback and listen to our past episodes. Also, you can go to play.it/gamertag and listen to our episodes there. Send us your feedback or comments to fanmail@gamertagradio.com or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You can leave a message there, and we definitely will play it in a future episode of Gamertag Radio. And that's about it. The next episode, I'm not going to be on. Paris and Pete, think you guys are going to be in charge for that. I have to check out the Marlins game that's happening Tuesday night, where we're going to be recording and stuff. So you think you guys can handle that, Paris, without me?
No, we can't.
Good?
No.
Oh, there you go. I guess no show. All right, so we're out. Until next time. Peace. Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.